It's Thursday, February 23rd, and you're listening to the Geek at Geek News Central, show number 744, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Save 25% on a one-year fourth-generation hosting account by using promo code CES2. And I got a great show lined up for you. I tell you, Geek News Central is a very proud member here of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. You know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Honolulu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. Of course, my name is Todd Cochran, and I want you to get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all our great content. Of course, check out our archive podcast via the podcast link. Check out all our other great shows as well. The Gadget Professor, who just released an episode today. Robot Underpants, of course, the Saturday morning tech show. And of course, my show here at Geek News Central, which is produced every Monday and Thursday, released on Tuesday and Friday for your listening and viewing pleasure. I want to give a warm welcome to all of the Ohana and all the listeners from around the world. Thanks for tuning in and being part of the Ohana here. Of course, want all of you to, if you miss the show live, and when you're not able to watch it, live.geeknewscentral.com, to check out the show via the Roku, the Boxy, Samsung Smart TV, Google TV, or your mobile Android or iPhone device, whatever it may be. Definitely check the show out. Get subscribed. You can do that real simply by coming over to the website. And there's an orange box on the website that has basically all the subscribe links. So once you get over there and get subscribed to the show, that way you'll never miss a single episode. So sign up for our newsletter. The newsletter has all of the stuff that is basically in the show notes. It's on the website. So that will get to your email box immediately following the show. And we want you to definitely get hooked up there. Well, I tell you, it's been a busy week here. I've actually had a couple, like last night, my wife got home a little bit late, and I was like 8:30, 9 o'clock, and it was like I hit a wall. And I just said, I'm going to bed. And it's been like, I've had every once in a while, I think the body says, hey, you need to relax a little bit and get some extra sleep. So, batteries are charged, feeling great. Looking forward to bringing you some great content tonight. Of course, this content would not be possible without one of our sponsors. We want to thank GoDaddy.com for being a longtime sponsor here at the show. And we've got some great deals for you here. And one thing I want you to check out is their special offer that we're going to be running for a long time, where you can save an extra 25% on a web hosting plan of 12 months or more by using the promo code CES2. And really, this is a pretty amazing offer. You're going to get hosted across multiple servers with proprietary dynamic traffic management. The price range is $599 to $999. It's hosted on a cluster of multiple servers. It basically has additional ability to scale and to add capability as you need it. And really, 4GH is designed for everyone. They bring to you a premium DNS with this as well. And there's really two levels of 4GH protection as well, network and server level intrusions. So you get scanned every day. That isn't offered by many other hosting companies. Matter of fact, most sites don't even post whether or not that's an actual feature or not. And we're going to talk about an article later on today that will prove to you that this is a great feature. I'm going to talk a little bit, of course, about .coms and .cos and .tvs. So I've got lots of great promo codes, and we've got some great specials here for the month of February. And all you got to do is go over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. This will give you all the list of all the February codes. We've got .co, Hotmail.com is available for $7.99 by using the promo code COFEB3. And of course, we've got another hosting offer as well, deluxe hosting for the price of economy. This is a 12-month plan, of course, HostFeb3. All these links are, of course, at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy, along with our large number of other codes where you can save money on SSL certificates. If you spend a certain threshold, you get $20 off. Geek5, Todd20, Todd, ComSale, ComSale 2, Geek, Aloha, Central, Geek SSL 12 are all great codes here to use that are provided by my friends at GoDaddy. And we want to thank GoDaddy for being a sponsor here. And definitely you check them out and pick up some products. Well, you know, in the last show, I talked a little bit about being home for a while. And lo and behold, it wasn't nearly 24 hours later that I got a phone call. And I'm going to be making a unexpected quick dash to Washington, D.C. I have to have some meetings very close to the Capitol. I have to have a meeting in Laurel, which is, I guess, just a little bit north east of the Beltway. I'm going to be going up there, actually staying in a hotel pretty close to Laurel. So I have to blast there for a Tuesday and Wednesday meeting, and then I come back here on Thursday. But it being booking so late, I had to take what I could get from an airline perspective. So I get into D.C. pretty late on Monday afternoon. So I haven't decided how the show's going to go down Monday night, because I'm going to be essentially leaving here Honolulu time about 7 p.m. and I have to go to San Francisco, to Chicago, then I'm coming into Reagan. And so I don't know what kind of shape I'm going to be in to do the show Monday. So I'm going to be reaching out to some of our producers and see if we can get someone to step in. If I don't get anybody volunteering to step in, I'll probably bring you a short, maybe audio only show. That's what I was thinking about doing. So we'll keep you advised on that, but definitely want to keep the content rolling here for you. But yeah, kind of a really unexpected trip. Now, I've been doing some planning and looking ahead at the crystal ball on what's coming up for conferences and different events going on. I know that there's the OTT conference, over the top television conference, that's going to be happening in Santa Clara the 20th and 21st of March. I've gotten approved for a press pass on that, so I may be going to Santa Clara for those 2 days for that small event. And then in April, we have, I know I'm going to have 2 trips in April. I'm going to be going out to Florida, probably seeing my daughter for a few days. And then the NAB, the National Association Broadcaster show, is going to be happening. I believe that's the week of 16th, 17th, 18th of April. Definitely going to be thinking about covering that. I've got approved for a press pass on that as well. Just going out with a couple of folks, I think, and checking the show out. And being a participant versus an exhibitor, my team at Raw Voice decided not to participate as an exhibitor this year at NAB, and looking at streaming media west or east as a possible venue for us later on in the year. But anyway, that's kind of what's going to be happening here. So things are going to get busy in the spring. Plus, I've got some consulting gigs coming up. So we're going to be out of the studio quite a little bit, but studio upgrades are scheduled, or we're scheduled, to start next week, and I may push until I get back. Hey, you know, I told you guys on the last show, or a couple of shows ago, that my we're no longer cord cutters. My wife reattached basic cable, and I had to laugh. As my wife was at a basketball game for my son, and she said, "Hey, I left you some plate in the refrigerator. Go ahead and stick it in the microwave, warm it up." And I did, and so I kicked on the news, and, you know, I really honestly have not missed television, because the first thing I'm seeing is this advertisement for dog medic, basically a dog, I call it the Thunder Shirt. It's basically some sort of a device you put your dog in if your dog's scared of thunder or has anxiety. But the theme throughout this commercial was medication. They're medicating their dog to make it calm down. And I'm like to myself, you know, people are getting absolutely, and maybe just call me a country boy at heart, but, you know, dogs were outside. They ate the scraps. They, you know, largely didn't go to the vet. we medicated him for heartworm and, you know, all the stuff the dogs normally would get by being outdoor dogs, but we never gave him anti-anxiety medicine. We never sent him to doggy daycare. Have people got that much disposable income that they can give their dog anti-anxiety medication? My mouth is just dropped wide open and I'm just thinking, it's a dog. But I'm going to tell you, some people are, I guess their dog is just like their kids, you know? And maybe I'm just too much of a country boy. Dog's a dog's a dog, right? And I'm hearing people about giving their dogs and cats shots when they've got diabetes and all kinds. I'm like, wow. And don't get me wrong. I like dogs and cats. Okay. I do. I love animals, but some things just kind of make me really open my eyebrows a big way. It's the doggy daycare. I'm in the wrong business. Maybe that's what I should do for a part-time job. Do doggy daycare. Have 5 or 6 dogs. We walk around and they get them a little exercise and we bring them and train them and stuff. I'm sorry, I'm on a tangent here, but it just strikes me so weird. It really does. Who's got the money to put the dog on a leash out in the backyard? Give him a bowl of water in a dog house. You know, that's doggy daycare. And we're happy to see you when they get home, you know. Jeez. All right. Last 2 days I've been messing with a camera. It's an Axis, and I've got it here in front of me, AXIS. And what this is a wireless camera. And the folks sent this over for me to review. So as a word of disclaimer here, this was a product provided by the company for me to take a look at. And, I've played with some of these cameras in the past and messed with these things before, and some of these wireless ones. But this one here is kind of unique in that it has an associated website. Did I write it down? It's called iWatchLife.com is the site that goes along with this camera. And what you can do is, what struck me as interesting was there's about 8 or 9 different settings that you can set this. You can set it for movement, change of light to dark, there's different ways it'll trip this thing to record. And I set this thing up today, and I had it set for the last couple of days. I had it sitting in my window outside and see how many events it would trigger. And speaking of my dog triggered it a few times when he walked out in the yard with it on his chain. And basically the camera saw movement and it recorded it. So it's kind of interesting. Not bad quality for a little camera like this. So I'll have a link up in the show notes for you. There's going to be a review coming to Geek News Central. But these little remote wireless cameras, and you guys know here that I've got a fantastic security system that is electronic. And then I also have a camera system set up, day and night cameras and everything that basically cover the perimeter and some spaces in the house. And the quality on this was pretty close to the quality that are on my professional cameras I spent a lot of money on. And this thing, you can log into it and watch it to, if you're at work or something. So pretty cool. And there's a number of these on the market. But one thing I thought was cool is it's got a microphone on it. And so I could actually hear what was going, I basically could, when I logged in remotely, could tell the house was quiet. Nothing was going on. And that was kind of cool too. So it's secondary indications with a speaker. But I have that a review up for it shortly. On geeknewscentral.com and the price point and everything else. But very cool product that they sent over. I got some other stuff that just came in as well. This will probably be one of the things we're going to give away for show 750. So if you are a longtime listener of this show or even a new time listener of this show, send me an email to geeknews@gmail.com. Right on there, show 750 in the subject line. And tell me what you like the best about the show. And what you need to put on there, tell me what you don't like about the show. Just make it 2 sentences. One, what I love the most and what I hate the most. And maybe this long intro, before we get into tech content is what you hate the most. But put that in there, send that email to me, and that'll get you as one of the entry winners for show 750 for our prize package we're going to give away on that show. Okay, as well, let's take care of a little business here. And before we get into the full tech content tonight, definitely, again, get over to geeknewscentral.com/insider if you feel like supporting the show financially. But our sponsors take care of us very well as well and keep the lights on here. And one of the products that I use, and you know, for be honest with you, for Citrix GoToMeeting, I had used that product and I still use that product nearly every day. And when the when I loaded GoToMyPC on some of the computers here, you very quickly you find out which computers you need to access and which ones you don't. So it's real easy to focus in on the machine that's the most important. But ever since they introduced these new iPad and iPhone apps and Android apps with GoToMyPC, I'm finding now that I feel more comfortable because I was always grabbing a USB stick. As a matter of fact, let me show you how many I've got on this desk. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4. This tells you how anal I was. So I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So this is just stuff I just grab, and they're just laying here now. So I'd always grab a USB stick and I'm like, did I have this on the computer? Did I have that on the computer? And I'd always walk out the door with a USB stick in my pocket. You know, these things here, if you're like me, you have a tendency to pull stuff out of your pocket. And I was always losing these things. And I see, that's pretty dumb. I'm putting business documents on there. I'm putting financial reports, all kinds of stuff. And many times it was because it was maybe the laptop that I was walking out the door with wasn't turned on and I wanted to make sure stuff was in there. But ever since I've loaded and had go to my PC on my computer and also with the iPad and iPhone apps, this is a thing of the past. I don't have to do this anymore. I don't have to leave with a USB stick with any type of document on there because I can literally access my computer anytime, anywhere, whatever device, with my computer, with my iPhone, with my iPad, it doesn't matter. And I can access a Mac or PC. It just works. And I just drag and drop it onto my iPad, or I drag and drop into a computer, and it's easy. And if I want to do something right on the computer itself, I can do that as well. So it's convenient, reliable. I don't have to stress about leaving documents at home when I go on travel. I don't have to worry about that. So again, I want you to give this a try. And I think what you're going to find is that you're going to completely change the way you do things. And you're not going to worry about, did I grab that file or did I put that in email or whatever, because you're going to be able to do that no matter where you're at. So as a listener of this show, I want you to try GoToMyPC. It's a special 30-day offer. And all you got to do is go over to GoToMyPC.com. There's an orange try it free button. Click on that try it free button. That's going to load a page here that is going to have a place to put your name, your email address, put the promo code podcast in. Use the promo code podcast. And then once you get set up and get that free 30-day trial, download the iPhone, iPad, or Android app. And then all you have to do then is access your computer. It's easy. And again, it works on a Mac or a PC here. So let me go ahead and thank the folks from Citrix, and then we'll get into the regular content tonight, my full stack of stuff for you. Let me double check this. Yes, 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 that's done. Okay, we're ready to bring up the full page here. And again, I want to remind you that the Gadget Professor is out. And this is show number 46 from him. He's fast approaching number 50. And he talks about Technical Pro headphones and some other stuff during the Gadget Professor this time. So definitely check him out. Of course, my good friend Don is also a TriCaster dealer. So if you're looking for TriCaster products and services or professional audio gear or video gear, Don's the guy. And he's got some great stuff at gadgetprofessorpromo.com. For special pricing on gadgets. Let me show you this here. And he's put this site up. This is really smart. And let me wait for this to load. So what he's got now is, again, gadgetprofessorpromo.com. And he's got the products and stuff that he's talking about, and stuff where you can find them. and he's got discount codes and everything else. So definitely check out the Gadget Professor stuff. And matter of fact, if you see what he, oh, this is funny. I didn't even know this. I swear to God, I didn't know that this, he's actually got this camera discounted on his website right now. That's, they must have sent him one too. Anyway, so he's got this on sale and he's got a link to it. So anyway, I have a link up in the show notes for you to check out. And of course, you can check his show notes out. One thing that we did at CES that I just absolutely, my phone is buzzing here, buzzing. Someone's texting me. One thing that Jeffrey Powers, when we were at one of the events, Showstoppers or something like that, there was a keyboard that we found. It was the last stop of the night. And this keyboard was, well, indestructible. And what I want to show you here, let me actually see if I can, I'm going to do this, see if I can make this bigger. What I'm going to do is I'm going to flip this over. We're going to, and those of you that are actually listening, you won't be able to see this, but I'm going to describe what he's done. And I'm hoping you can hear this. So let me go ahead and play this.
Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here.
Okay, so what that bang, bang, bang was Jeffrey walking up to this table and literally hitting this keyboard as hard as he possibly could. I mean, it was boom, 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 and it was awesome. This Zybo 60 is one of the most rugged keyboards I've ever seen, including their mouse and stuff. Everything is built for abuse, and they actually were touting this as the indestructible keyboard. Now, you know, that one viral video where they were smashing, you know, keyboards and different stuff. When someone says an indestructible keyboard, that really makes you go, Because, you know, keyboards are popping keys. And, you know, I usually, matter of fact, the keyboard of choice that I have right now, the one that I like the best is, let's see if I can show it here in the camera, is I have a Dell keyboard. And it's the reason I like it is it has nice, I can hear, you know, click, 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 click. It's got the right key pressing for me. And this lasts me, generally, these keyboards last me maybe a year, year and a half. You know, I'm living on a keyboard. And then I, you know, it ends up going in the trash and I have, you know, a couple more. And I'm like, quite literally, I have two more of these keyboards in reserve up on a shelf in the back. So when they were talking about this, I was like, okay. So I went, after Jeffrey smashed it with his fist, I went up and started playing with it. And it's designed for the keyboards to snap back in. It's rugged. It's not, and it's designed for gamers who are going to get rough, kids who are going to get rough. I mean, this thing is awesome. Now, it comes with an awesome price, too, of $149. So it's not cheap. But if you're looking for a keyboard that they claim is going to last you 10 years, and I believe it, and I mean, Jeffrey, he actually had little indents on his thumb. You're going to see more smashing of the keyboard when you watch this video. It's the first video that's up. Actually, I have the link up in the show notes for you, but I'd forgot about this interview and it just popped today. One of the guys from the Geek News Central blogging team had it ready to go. And I think we're down to 14 videos left is our total videos left from CES. And I think it brings our grand total to 267 or something like that. But anyway, I just went crazy over this video, and I think you'll love it when you see it too. So I have a link up in the show notes on it. But if you're looking for a rugged keyboard, this is definitely one that can take some. It's indestructible. Google a couple days ago announced that they are going to be applying for what is basically a broadcast license, a video franchise license, and what that means is that if it is approved. This is an article over on GigaOM. is that they are going to be able to take on cable providers and market, which it's hoping to deliver their fiber-enabled gigabit broadband service. Now, you know that they're already putting up satellite dishes in Iowa, while at the same time, they are going to be rolling out this broadband stuff in Kansas City, and Kansas City, Kansas, Kansas City, Missouri. So what they're going to be doing is this video franchise license that they applied for, I think specifically in Missouri, is going to allow them to, you know, basically compete head-to-head with the cable provider. So, you know, here's the question, you know, knowing what Google is doing, you know, are they going to be able to get the content creators on board to offer that up as a service? Is there Google TV and everything else they're going to be doing with this new cable service? Is it going to extend beyond Kansas City? What's it going to cost? And will YouTube be integrated? But you can kind of see the play going here. So they've got Google TV. They have bought the Motorola division that builds set-top boxes. They have this broadband internet, broadband fiber going into homes, and they're now applying to become a video franchise, basically able to service, you know, basically cable service. So that is, you know, and I guess maybe we all should have realized that, but what does this mean? What does this mean for the future of TV? This could be big. And I think that, ultimately it could be good for consumers, but the question we all have to ask is, at what point does Google get too big? You know, they got their hands in so much stuff. You know, at some point they're going to become the, you know, under the scrutiny of the Federal Trade Commission a little closer, and we may end up having, you know, a monopoly type stuff going on, and they could end up being in a situation where they would have to be broke up. Now, I don't know if it's going to get to that point anytime soon, but, you know, we'll see if the Missouri Public Service Commission is going to approve this video franchise license. And if it does, it's going to be a fun ride. Now, do we have any of our Ohana that are living in Kansas City, Missouri, or Kansas City, Kansas? If you are, I want to hear from you. Now, where they're going to be rolling out the fiber is in a small segment of the city, a certain area. So not everyone's going to get it, but it definitely is going to allow them to test this and see if it's going to scale and if it's going to be, you know, if it's going to be profitable. And as you guys remember, Google owns a huge, huge amount of dark fiber. You know, they bought up fiber when it was at rock bottom prices, and they own it. They own a huge amount of fiber throughout the United States that is not even lit up, but it's buried. So essentially, they've got the infrastructure in place already from a fiber perspective to definitely be a threat to cable providers. And it's exciting. We'll see what happens. Well, down in New Zealand, Kim.com has been released from prison after a New Zealand judge granted him bail. The question is, how long before he's out of New Zealand? And I think one of the things that I found that was interesting, in his release agreement, he is going to have some strict conditions. No helicopters will be allowed to land on the premise. I'm sure that will be something easy to stop. .com will have to give police 24 hours notice should he choose to leave, and when he does, he has a limit of 80 kilometers of his travel. He'll be denied access to the internet, and his lawyer basically said, "Hey, this is not the way to go, because he's got to, you know, work with his lawyers in the United States and so forth." But anyway, the prosecutor is afraid that if he gets internet access, that this could result in the mega upload site coming back online in a country where the United States doesn't have jurisdiction. So here's my guess. He's going to bounce. I have a feeling that he's probably got enough money stashed somewhere that you know, that he's going to bounce, and he'll get out of New Zealand. Now, you know, that's easier said than done. You know, he'd have to have a, you know, pretty extensive plan, and he'd have to violate a whole bunch of laws, you know, and he'd probably get arrested wherever he went to as well, largely because, you know, he'd have to have a flight out, that's, or get on a boat, I guess. But New Zealand is not, would not be the easiest place to escape from. But we'll see. We'll see what happens with Kim.com. And I just, my prediction is he's going to bounce. He's going to skip bail, and he'll be like somewhere else. And all of a sudden, Mech Upload will be online again, and he'll be back in business. And what do you guys think? You think this is possible? You think that's going to happen? Hey, if you got comments on tonight's show, you can follow me on Twitter at Geek News. Of course, you can email me geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. 619-342-7365. All right, the Roku Remote iOS app has been updated. Easier navigation now. And it's got the a couple of major channels right up on the top. And I don't know if you can actually set those or not, but you can go into the channel store and all kinds of stuff. So very, very, very cool. So definitely check out the new iOS updated remote for the Roku, for those of you that are Roku owners. And it actually comes at a good time because I'm missing a remote for one of my Rokus. We've got two in the house, one in the bedroom, one in the living room. And I'm telling the kids, where's the Roku remote? And the kids are all giving me like the look. So it's a good time because I have my iPhone right there in the bedroom. Don't have to worry about it. Hey, TiVo is releasing some new boxes. And one of them is called the TV Preview. It's a multi-room extender. And it could come with access to internet video service as well. And prediction, it's a little, you know, another one of these little hockey puck type of devices. It's not very big. They did show it off to a limited crowd at CES, but they've also talked about their quarter four earnings as well. They did pretty good on quarter four, but expecting some new stuff from TiVo to be released in the fourth quarter. So we'll look forward to that stuff coming out. Google Plus Circles. Hey, how many of you guys are using Google Voice? Well, if you're using Google Voice, now when you go into Google Voice and the people that you have in your contact list, you can actually set up groups and circles so that you can have different messages for different people. And certain people you can send right to voicemail. So it actually gives you, you can, by person, you can select how they, what they're going to hear or if they're going to be forwarded to your phone or not. I think this is a pretty good feature on Google Voice. It's something, you know, I've had a Google Voice number here for a while. And it works well, but I like this even better because oftentimes I'll get a number. I look at the number. Who's that? And I don't know who it is. And if they're in my contact list, at least if Google has that information, it'll pop up and I'll know who's calling, or I can just, you know, basically if I make a pre-rule, I can send them straight to voicemail if need be. Every once in a while, you just want to add someone. You're like, oh, no, I can't talk to you. Some people definitely want more of your time than others. Okay, there's a little bit of rift going on between Google, Microsoft, and Netflix and the rest of the community. They want DRM-like encryption and HTML5. Now, one thing that I love about HTML5 is, if you know, you come over to Geek News Central in a HTML5 enabled browser like Chrome or the other browsers out there that have it, you're going to, when you play my video, you're getting that in its purest form. It's in the coding settings that I set. No, nothing flash based. It's really awesome, and it's allowed us to do lots of cool things with our plugin that podcasters use, creating, you know, you guys can see now there's a little embed. You can take an embed in my video and move it to a different site. And a lot of you do that. So what's happening now is that, you know, HTML5 is supposed to set the web free. You know, it's free to deliver and shape online media in any web browser. But several, again, Microsoft, Google, and Netflix want to restrict the use of audio and video tags through encrypted media extensions. So this a new draft proposal has been submitted to the W3C, who are the creators of HTML5, and boy, they are getting some angst thrown back at them. And also some concern by a content creator saying, hey, this is not DRM. This is not as strong encryption as we want. You know, that's a big problem with HTML5. See, it is the raw video. There is no DRM in HTML5 currently. So if you're watching a video on your web browser through Netflix, that is flash driven, and because they've embedded DRM into flash. But if you're watching something in an HTML5 player, it's open. You can copy it, capture it, whatever you want to do. So we'll see where this goes, but there is definitely some infighting going on, and they've got this real, you know, I guess you have to be a programmer to understand this kind of stuff, but they've got this big, block chart of how this is all going to work, and the licenses and the web server and the CDN and how it all built, you know, and the decryption and encryption. And ultimately what's also being proposed is that maybe the encryption for HTML5 for DRM will move into the hardware. So that basically, instead of having it in web, because it basically HTML5 is open source, and they're saying you can't have HTML5 implementation and stuff that's going to be secured, and the code is not going to be able to pick through, because the browser might be able to circumvent the encryption that they're putting in place. So they're saying, well, let's just drop the encryption into hardware. So in other words, it's going to get built into computers, which I don't think any of us want. But this is going to be a bigger story as time moves on. So we'll see how this works out. Hey, Microsoft is basically saying Windows Update is going to be a long time for a lot of products. Basically, they've said that Vista and Windows 7 will get a full 10 years of support instead of the usual 5. And that Microsoft Japan also announced XP support will stop in 2014. Vista will end in 2017. Windows 7 will come close to 2020. And so people are pretty happy that they're extending the support of those operating systems to those time periods. Now, many of you, switching topics here, many of you are on one of the original AT&T or Verizon Unlimited plans. And you're quite happy because you are essentially, you use whatever bandwidth you want. Now, we know that both Verizon and AT&T have been basically, when you hit a certain level, they're starting to throttle you. And, you know, basically, they're trying to make it difficult for you to use your mobile devices when you've hit those levels. But there's some consumption data comparisons going on where they have basically looked at the delta between unlimited Verizon customers and tiered Verizon customers. So now the tiered people are those that have called in, got your data plans changed, and now you're on a 2 or 5 gig limit. So what they found is that the folks that are on unlimited plans, the top 5% use about 3.57 gigs of data per month. The tiered users, those that are on a 2 or 5 gig plan, the top 5% use 3.59. So it's essentially neck and neck. So just remember, though, the only people that they're throttling right now are the unlimited users when they hit 2 gigs. The same thing with AT&T. The unlimited folks are using 3.97. The tiered folks are using 3.19. And, of course, if you go over on the tiered plan, you're going to rack up big bills on a per meg price, not per gig. But they find, you know, these deltas here are pretty small between the tiered and the unlimited. So really what's going on here is there's no difference in usage between unlimited data plans and tiered data plans. And all they're really trying to do is they're trying to pressure those of you that are on unlimited plans. They're trying to make life rough so that you have to go call them and say, hey, I'm tired of being throttled. I want to be on a tiered plan. The only objective here is specifically they're hoping you go over. and you pay them on a per meg basis. This data was obtained by an analytics firm called Validas, V-A-L-I-D-A-S, Validas. They analyzed 50,000 cell bills from AT&T and Verizon to see if throttling was necessary. And this is what they've come up with. So I have a link up in the show notes for you to check out. But it makes you go, Now, those of you that have iPhones or Androids, you know that you could set in the phone, you can set a little message sent from my, when you send a text or an email, it says, can say sent from my iPhone, or, you know, basically can add a little information there. Now, or actually it's on messages, not on text. So apparently in China, people are paying for a service that adds sent from my iPhone to messages coming from phones that are not iPhones. So what it is a portion of Chinese people cannot afford an iPhone, but they want to be hip and cool and make people think that they've got one. So they're paying $1 a month for a company to add this little tagline so that when people send them an email message, they think that it's coming from an iPhone. Makes you go, So a lot of peer pressure there to have an iPhone in China. All right, Apple's had their shareholder meeting. No dividend for those of you that hold Apple stock. And, of course, they're not buying Greece with the money they have. Of course, they can basically bail Greece out with the cash reserve they have. But a couple of things that came out of the meeting. Apple doesn't hate Facebook. They said this multiple times during the meeting. The new CEO has near unanimous support from the shareholders. He got a 98% yes vote in his nomination to the Apple board. They are adopting some new ways to next year, so that the board has to get at least 50% approval to stay on the board, which is interesting. There's, of course, again, no dividend announcement. And there was some pretty good write-ups. One that was on Forbes walked through their meeting, but he basically got, they talked about the Foxconn factories. And I learned a little bit more about this inspection that Apple allowed to happen here a few weeks ago or last week. Let me think of the company. The company that did that, Apple sent the Fair Labor Association, again, a nonprofit funded by companies including Apple. That I didn't realize. And if I did, I don't remember talking about it. But apparently Apple made a donation to the Fair Labor Association for $250,000, said, here's our donation to you. Now you can go visit and inspect our factories in Asia. Okay, now, audience, if I had a fresh, crisp $100 bill, and I would say, hey, audience, as a token of my appreciation for reviewing my website, actually, I'm going to send you $100 as a token of my appreciation to let you review my website. I want to thank you in advance. That would be great to audience. I'm going to give each of you $100 to review my website. You do a little, you know, if you want to do write up on your blog or write up on iTunes or Android or all above, that would be great. How many negative write-ups would there be? Probably not many, because I would have already given each person $100, right? And I would have the most glowing reviews of any show that's on the internet. You know, smoke and mirrors, wax on, wax off, right? This is so crooked and stinks so bad. Why hasn't the press been talking about this? Why haven't they said, oh, Fair Labor Association went and inspects them? They just, it was this big headline, right? But they didn't say Apple gave them $250,000 or 200, what was it? $250,000, huge amount of money to go do this, to be part of the organization, Fair Labor. If I've got sweatshops in China, That's the association I want to belong to, right? Hey, Fair Labor Association. Can I be a member? Oh, yes, Todd. You can sign Podcast Connect up for, it just send us $20,000. You can be a member. And you got factories in China? Oh, yes, I do. It's amazing. Nike is a member of this. Adidas? Huh. Well, we'll see. I'm going to be curious to see how the report in March is going to look like. Now, the biggest scam going on in Silicon Valley right now are bloggers that are, how should we say it? Raising funds. And we've talked about this a little bit already. Mike Arrington, of course, raised his crunch fund. You know, nothing like, hey, going to my friends, hey, you give me $500,000 to my fund. And we're going to write favorably about, people that you invest in and so forth. You know, don't worry, you know, we're going to take care of you. Well, Dan Lyons, a journalist, basically accused Robert Scoble of being in this next line of bloggers that are going to start a fund. And he wrote up a absolutely disparaging post without really any serious fact checking of Robert Scoble. So here's what Scoble is basically saying. For the record, I'm not raising a fund. He said, Dan Lyons' article is not accurate. He says, it does come up in conversations a lot. At the two events that he was at yesterday, people have been asking him, are you raising money for a fund? And then people are asking him, how come you haven't already? And he goes, and Scoble goes on and says, hey, my life already rocks. I don't want to screw that up. I don't need these investment decisions. And he says, so far, this is a key word, so far I've resisted the path. But don't you think if I came to you guys and I said, hey, we've raised a fund and we're going to invest in a bunch of different shows. And those shows I'm going to invest in, we're going to be talking about a lot on this show. You know, that would stink, right? Because there's no editorial, you know, there's nothing pure anymore. It's just nothing more than a pitch. I'd only be pitching for you. And believe me, I would love to go out and start signing a bunch of shows. I think it would be fantastic. To do that takes a lot of cash, a lot of resources. And I'd love to do that. But at the same time, if you do that, then you have to think, okay, so now am I going to be able to talk about that? No, because it would screw things up. Now, the shows that are at Geek News Central are part of our family. People, the content creators here have an agreement with me on how the show is going to operate. And there is a financial agreement that goes with that. But they're part of GNC. They're part of this family of shows. And, but, you know, if I was to go out and start buying shows that weren't part of Geek News Central and promoting, it'd be a little weird. And so I don't know. May haven't thought this all the way through, but boy, I tell you, it looks like bloggers are thinking they can't cash in by making money on their blogs, so they're going to cash in by starting up angel funds and stuff. But I hope Scoble doesn't go down this road. We'll see whether or not that happens. But I think we all can smell between and read between the lines on Mike Arrington post on his website Crunched. Let's talk about GPS. GPS jammed. There was an event in the UK. It's called the GNSS Vulnerability 2012 event at the UK National Physical Laboratory, where experts were discussing the threat posed by a growing number of GPS jamming and spoofing devices. It says the increasing popular of jamming is problematic, and basically it's causing major issues where you have low power GPS jammers. They're threatening cell phones, cell towers, spoofing stuff going on with the people's map systems in their cars. He says it's a big issue. And they're really worried about it in a big way. And so they basically were monitoring a variety of different spots in the UK, and they found an amazing number of jamming events. Over 10,000 jamming events happened over a couple of week period mostly in from truckers and trucks that had GPS jamming devices. And for whatever reason, they're using those, but there is a big issue. And I don't know if this is going on in the United States or not, but lo, you be the one to be caught with one of these devices. I'm sure the FCC would have a lot of fun with you in from a, you know, take you to jail type of perspective. But it is a concern. Now, we know that auto rental companies in the United States use GPS tracked vehicles and make sure the customers don't violate the terms of their rental contract. Now, did you guys know that when you guys rent a car? A number of years ago, I was in California, and this was before probably most people even had a GPS in a vehicle, maybe still handing those little small handheld ones that were for starting out. We got a call in the office we were at, and they said, "Hey, can we speak to so-and-so?" And they're like, "Well, he's not here." And they go, "Yes, is he in a vehicle that is in such and such location? If he is, we track the vehicle going over 100 miles per hour, and we need him to return the vehicle." Basically, he was out in the Mojave on an isolated stretch of road and was, you know, kicked the speed up. And the car rental company said, "Hey, we want our car back here. You violated our rental agreement." So when you buy or when you rent a GPS, they are tracking their vehicle. And they're making sure you're not abusing their vehicle. And I'm sure they're putting more stuff in the cars now. So be careful out there next time you think you're going to wrap and beat up on a rental car vehicle, because they're watching you. Now, of course, track as you go or pay as you go is also being done with insurance companies. So basically, insurance companies are offering reduced rates for drivers that are willing to put a GPS tracker on their vehicle, and they're tracking to make sure you're not being abusive and you're driving sensibly. So folks are using these GPS jammers in a bigger way. So maybe people are renting cars, they're putting those in to jam where the vehicles are going. So, but don't get caught with one of these things. It's not going to be pretty. All right, moving on here. If you have a Mac, the Flashback Mac Trojan is back. It won't install itself and actually won't even try if you have antivirus already installed on your Mac. But if you get sideways on this thing, it's going to install itself and call home to mama. So I have a link up in the show notes on that. It's not a big threat, but they're announcing it. I talked in the beginning of the show about having your computer scan for malware. Part of the GoDaddy 4GH hosting is they scan it and they check it a couple of different ways. I have a number of servers, dedicated servers on GoDaddy. And the dedicated servers don't come preloaded with antivirus software unless you're running a Plesk control panel. So all of my machines, except for one, have just basically shell commands. I get in with the shell and I have to do everything manually, and I've got some programs set up that helps me web-based and products like WebMin and so forth. But on one machine, I didn't really want to have the hassle of doing all the managed stuff, so I ordered the server with Plesk, and I got an email yesterday saying that the Plesk control panel needed to be updated because there was a critical vulnerability that was out that was basically the subject of people are being able to hack into machines, and it really put some stuff on there that could spell bad news. Now, this machine that I have Plesk on has got some of my secondary sites. It's not a super important machine from that perspective. So if I had to rebuild, I could, but I got a lot of data on there. So moving the data and all that stuff's a pain. But I went in and immediately and updated Plesk, but I was worried, okay, this vulnerability's been out for a little bit, so I need to make sure the machine scanned. And because it's a dedicated server, not a 4GH hosted server, I had to really to kind of do my own thing and get set up to do the scan. And it was a pain in the butt to get the machine scanned, go through and double check everything, make sure there was no viruses, that there was nothing malware put on the machine, that it wasn't there wasn't any weird funny business going on with usernames. So having a dedicated machine is a bigger responsibility, Whereas I'm thinking to myself, man, if I just had some of the secondary stuff on those 4GH accounts, I wouldn't have to worry about any of this stuff because they would take care of it. So I may be downsizing on a couple of things and moving over to 4GH, but it just kind of set me back in my chair because Plesk is known to be pretty strong, and they haven't had many big issues like this. So if you got a dedicated server that has Plesk on it, it's got version 10.2, I think, or before, you need to upgrade immediately to 10.4. And my machine's all updated now, but if they were scanning for machines, this is what they'll do. They'll go out and look at IP ranges until they get a hit, and they immediately, boom, they're in, and you're sucking because they own you. So just be aware of some of the stuff that's going on out there. And for those, especially those who have your own dedicated servers. But so I had to go through and, you know, dig into this thing and, you know, basically wasted my time of what it was. But that's the circumstances if you have your own dedicated boxes. All right. The White House today has come out with a new privacy bill of rights. And basically it's all surrounding do not track. They feel that things are not moving fast enough. And the president has said that Americans cannot wait any longer for better privacy rules. So he took wraps off his framework for new privacy regulations. And they announced the first product of that framework, the completion of an industry agreement on do not track, which a number of big companies, including Google, Yahoo, Microsoft, and AOL have already signed off on, along with a number of web advertising networks and leading internet companies as well, that basically if you have do not track turned on in your web browser, they're going to agree not to track you. Well, let's go through these Consumer Bill of Rights and the seven principles as outlined in the president's plan here. Individual control. Consumers have a right to exercise control over what data organizations collect from them and how they use it. Transparency. Consumers have a right to easily understandable information about privacy and security practices. Respect for context. Consumers have a right to expect what organizations will collect, use, and how they will disclose personal data in ways that are consistent with the context in which consumers provide data. Security. Consumers have a right to secure and responsible handling of personal data. Access and accuracy. Consumers have a right to access and correct personal data in usable formats in a manner that is appropriate to the sensitivity of the data and the risk of adverse consequences to consumer if that data is inaccurate. Focused collection. Consumers have a right to reasonable limits on what personal data that companies collect and retain. Accountability. Consumers have a right to personal data handled by companies with appropriate measures in place to assure they adhere to the Consumer Bill of Rights. So in part here, the president has decided that he wants to bring forth and to align the U.S. privacy regulations closer with the European Union and other trading partners. Both representatives from the EU and other international provinces are expected to participate, according to the folks over at ArsTechnica.com, on how to incorporate the principles into practices along with other stakeholders. And people are already lauding this as an overstep. They're not going to be able to do this. Time will see what's going to happen here. But FTC Chairman John Lebetz said that of the agreement in a statement, it's great to see that companies are stepping up to the challenge to protect privacy so consumers have greater choice and control over how they are tracked online. More needs to be done, but the work they have done so far is encouraging. So what do you guys think about the proposal of the Consumer Privacy Bill of Rights? And, I wonder if they're going to add this to how they're going to frame this. Is this going to go up as a constitutional right? Is this going to be constitutional law, or is this going to be just something that they're going to put forth in legislative that is going to be, just kind of the statement? And how are they going to frame that? Because these are statements. These aren't the framework of the actual legislation, because each one of these will have definitions and subtext, and, it's going to go on forever. So we'll see where this goes. Love to hear your feedback on how you think this will succeed or not. right. SanDisk co-founder says flash is going to squeeze out hard drives and DRAM by 2020. So he's saying flash is going to be the, you know, that's going to be the main memory and main storage. So I think that was a pretty bold statement. Of course, at the same time, Microsoft Research and University of California of I guess, Davis, SD, UCSD. Of course, someone's going to, from California, is going to blast me here. I apologize. I don't know which section that is. He said, anyway, which earlier this week claimed that solid state storage would meet its maker by 2024. So a little conflicting stories here. So it looks like there's a little going on. Wanted to see this one website. Oh, actually, it's up. Do you guys remember in the movie George Indiana Jones, when he jumped into a refrigerator in The Legend of the Crystal Skull, he has survived the atomic blast. Well, anyway, a guy by the name of Dr. David Schnechner subjects this claim to rigorous peer review, and his site was suffering from a dig effect earlier today. So I'm going to see if it'll actually, will that second page load or will it die? He's still getting hammered. This website must be served on a personal computer or something, because it really is not doing well with a slash dot effect. But anyway, he has basically talked about his reasoning on whether or not hiding in a refrigerator is a place to be when an atomic weapon goes off. I think we all know from common sense, probably it's not a good idea. Well, it did load here. Because George Lucas had said it, that in real life, he would have had a 50-50 chance of surviving. And but anyway, he goes in and does a complete scientific peer review on whether or not Indiana Jones in this movie would have survived the atomic blast in the actual refrigerator. So I have a link up in the show notes for that. You guys can read and be amused. All right, the BBC is reporting that we're not designed to sleep for one solid 8 hours in a row. Did you know, by historical reasons, the human body has been designed to sleep in two stages during the night? Kind of gets the first little bit of sleep, and then get its second little bit of sleep with a little wake-up time in between. Did you guys know that? That was what how we were designed in early days. And then we're talking going back 14th, 15th century, you know, going back quite a ways. And they're feeling here that people that wake up in the middle of the night, they can't get back to sleep. It's a little bit of our ancestors, that conditioning that we had back then coming through. And so there's been over 500 references to a segmented sleeping pattern. I think many of us maybe wake up for a little bit at night and roll over and go back to sleep. I know since I've had my sleep apnea that even on the mask, as I like to say, there's times that I'll wake up for a little bit and kind of roll over, readjust the CPAP machine and go back to sleep. So how many of you sleep solid all the way through 8 hours? You don't, or 6 hours, or how many hours you sleep? I know that I've been a pretty heavy sleeper, but since I've been on the CPAP machine, I don't sleep as quite as heavy as I used to. I'm probably getting better sleep, definitely better sleep, but it's just a little different, and probably because of the mask on my face and get bumped or whatever. All right, last couple of articles here, and I don't want to run this over on time too much. There was a prediction years ago that the Y chromosome, which is responsible for making men, males, was potentially of mutating to the point where at some point there would be a lot more ladies on the planet than there were men. Lucky for them, of course, or maybe not. But anyway, they don't expect, scientists have been looking at this, and they don't think that the Y chromosome is not going to shed any more of its 19 genes that it's left with. Maybe 20, 30 million years, it could maybe lose another one. Good luck to see if the human race is around that long anyway. but they think we're good. They don't think anything's going to be happening. Ladies, it doesn't mean there's going to be all of a sudden less fellas on the planet. I know that there's not enough of us good quality, caliber, high caliber male specimens to choose from. We know that already, but I'd better shut up. Anyway, don't worry. There's going to be plenty of equal numbers going around. If you guys think about the U.S. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood being on the campaign to wipe out distracted driving, you know, I really like to hear you guys' thoughts. Do you, I am very conscientious when I'm in my vehicle. I have hands-free driving. I've got the things on my steering wheel. I press the button and my car talks to me and I can talk back to it and say, call mom, call Shoko, call kids, whoever I need to call. And I don't have to pick up my phone. The phone stays in my pocket. I don't have to do anything with it. I can keep my eyes on the road. You know, they're trying to really, at this point, take our phones away from us while we're in our cars. And they want to have the technology basically lock us out. I tell you, what are they going to tell us next? That we can't talk in our bedrooms, or that we can't talk while walking on a sidewalk, or, where does it stop? And, I am very much in this position that the government shouldn't dictate. Let's just step back a minute. That doesn't to say that if I'm texting or doing something that is got my phone up and I'm entering a telephone number or something like that I should not get in trouble. You should, and it's dangerous to do that. But if you are hands on the wheel and you're using a hands-free device, it's going to be very hard to take phones out of vehicles and stop people from using them. I think it's going to be harder to implement than getting people to wear seatbelts. I think just people are tied too close to their phones and their cars. They've got time to talk to people. I do a lot of business in my car on the move, a lot. And as a matter of fact, I talked to some people and said, "Are you mobile again?" I'm like, "Yep, I'm mobile again." And it's just the way we live today. I don't know. What do you guys think? Do you think this should go in effect? Where should this go? Should we have a complete ban on using our phones in our vehicles? Time will tell. All right, a cool article on over at thedailygalaxy.com talking about how scientists and some scientists have been ignoring 500 billion galaxies and basically the look for extraterrestrial life and using calculations to find out how many other planets can support life. Good article on that. I'll have that link up in the show notes. And our final article tonight is NASA has discovered a water world. And of course, planets come in just a few types. Planets are rocky and gas and ice. And this will be really the first time that they have found what they want to call a liquid world. So this is pretty exciting news. It's been scientists that have been working on with the space NASA Hubble telescope has been looking at a planet that's been logged as GJ1214b. And a couple of astronomers have basically been able to tell that this is definitely a water-bound planet. And it's about three times as big as Earth, and they're pretty excited. So I'll have the link up in the show notes on that so you can check it out. All right, let me go ahead and load email here and see what we've got tonight, if we've got any email at all. I think we have a couple of messages. Got an email here from Tim. He says, "Hey, Todd, check this out over at csmonitor.com. NASA clocks 20 million mile per hour winds near a black hole." So I have that link up in the show notes. I got an email here from one of our UK listeners. This came from Bruce. He says, "Hey, Todd, you mentioned on the last show a TV recording box for £999. Well, that's not the best value for money. At approximately $1,500, we get free digital TV with about 60 usable channels, but limited HD over the air, which you can set to record via the usual toys available. when I say free, not really, as forced to pay a UK TV license of about $200. If you can receive over the air or internet, if you can receive over the air or internet content from the BBC, this includes owning a mobile with a data plan. The main point here is that you can get a couple of years cable for the £1,000 device and can't see many in the UK being... And can't see many in the UK being interested other than those who don't know about online catch-up options. Keep up the good work. So I guess you can always watch previous content then with this TV recording device that you're, that you guys can get automatically. He says, keep up the good work. No issues with the revised show format. Regards, Bruce in the UK. So if I'm following everything Bruce said, I understood you had to pay a license, that $200, you had to pay that. But you're still, you don't, unless you have a DVR, you're still not going to be able to catch up, right? Unless you, I guess you get, go over the internet, right? Or so I guess that box is still viable. Maybe I'm missing something here. So I apologize if I am. But anyway, thanks, Bruce, for the comment. And I guess that's it. That's all I've got for email. And somehow one of my hotel reservations that I made for going out to D.C. made it into the GNC comment folder. That doesn't need to be there. All right, folks. As always, I want you to drop me an email here. Geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is live 24 hours a day. And it's there for you to leave comments, positive, negative, or in between. At 619-342-7365. Those of you that are overseas, all you got to do is pick up Skype and go +1 619-342-7365. You can follow me on Twitter at Geek News. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Google Plus. All you got to do is search my name. And Saturday Morning Tech may be starting a little earlier on Saturday as I've got a couple of things I need to do. So instead of, it may go at 8 a.m. Pacific and 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern versus 9 a.m. or noon. Just still got to get the guests lined up, but I have to leave the house no later than about 7:15 on Saturday morning to take care of some stuff. But look forward to doing a Saturday Morning Tech for you. I hope you'll join me if you're up and around and lounging with a cup of coffee or taking care of stuff. We hope that you'll join me. And as always, definitely check out all our other shows. Check out our sponsors too. Support our sponsors so that they continue to support me and we can keep the lights on here. All right, everybody, we'll see you next time. Everyone take care and aloha.